Hi, my name is Pat, and Jesus Christ is my Savior and my Lord. I'd like to do a commentary on day 84. The Bible verse is from the book of James, chapter 1, verse 17, and it reads, "Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows." That's James 1:17. I just came back from a lovely weekend with my extended family. All of my children and grandchildren had gathered together to celebrate the wedding of my oldest granddaughter on Saturday. And we came together actually on Friday. I picked up my daughter from the airport with her family from Saudi Arabia. And then we went right to an Airbnb where we were all together in that place. And that was very nice too, just to be all gathered together in one place and, you know, spending time in that way. So I really thought about the gift of God. It was very easy to give him praise. Oh, I was overflowing with gratitude and seeing the kids play together and just seeing my granddaughter so very, very happy, and her fiance very happy, and her church family, because she has a church family, and they were all there too. So it was a good time. But I was also reminded too, you know, that sometimes in the past, you know, the good times can overshadow the understanding that I have a commission on my life, and I must never forget that. I must never forget that there is an adversary out there, and his desire is to kill, steal, and destroy. That's his desire to do that. And God has shown me that. He showed me that in his word. And he has shown me that I have been called to be a watcher on the wall. I have been called to be a sentry of what is going on, and not to be fooled by anything. Not the bad, bad, and the good, good, but to keep in mind, you know, that God is on the throne, and he knows everything that's going down, and I have been called to keep that before us, to remind us at all times, regardless of how uncomfortable it may seem, you know, to do that. That means that, you know, when we're gathered together and people are really into the food and, hey, who's going to do the grace? Let's do the grace. And even though I know that there are unbelievers, you know, in that situation, I also know that there are little believers in that situation, or potential, you know, ones that will be true followers of the Lord. And I never want them to forget that every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. He's with me. He's with me in the good times. He's with me in the times that, you know, are not too good. But he's with me, and he is the giver of every good and perfect gift. And I have not been called to make a false idol out of anything or anybody. You know, even the cutest little ones, you know, and let me tell you, there were a lot of little cute ones running around and doing cute little things. But again, my first and greatest love has to be for the Lord, and he wants that for everyone. Because when we love the Lord with all our heart and all of our strength and all of our mind, we will love others as we love ourselves. We learn to do that because we will see how much God loves us. You know, that's, in fact, that's where that type of love comes from, where I love him with my whole heart and strength. But the Bible tells me that I love because he first loved me. So I do want my eyes open to God's love, and I don't want them closed. Either by distraction, you know, where I am so involved with life and what life has to offer that I don't make the time to give thanks to the giver of life. Always I want to give thanks to the giver of life. I need to say, you know, I'm grateful for that with my granddaughter too, because yesterday, there were some of us who went to church, you know, and we wanted to worship together since we were out of town. And we got there, and when I got to, when we were sitting down, who was sitting right beside me, but the newlywed couple, and, you know, was there too. They were there as well. And I was grateful for that. I was very, very grateful because, you know, when I got married, by God's grace, you know, I'm thankful. The Lord finally, he found me. He found me years after our marriage. But I look at those who start off knowing the Lord. And then when two of them are together, knowing the Lord, hallelujah, how beautiful, you know, is that. And yeah, they were there, right there in that row, you know, at church, like newlyweds. They were holding hands, you know, like newlyweds do and whatever, but they were worshiping the Lord. And that I pray for all of my children. I pray that for all of my grandchildren, that they will know that every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down, you know, from the Father of heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. I did a word search on, you know, what those words meant. You know, the word, like every, and the Bible wanted me to know that all, you know, all, every kind, every variety. And it says without exception. And then it says gift. It says that it's something that has been given freely. And this is what God has done. All that is in my life that is, you know, lovely and pure, he has given to me freely. And it's a good thing. It's a kind thing. It's a generous thing that he has bestowed on me. And it's complete. That's the thing about when God gives something, he gives it complete. And the Bible says that these things are from above. They're from the Lord. And they have been poured out in my life. And I'm very, very grateful for that. So this generous, beneficial gift is complete. It's a perfect blessing, and it comes from God. And he created all sources of things. And unlike shifting shadows or changing season, God is utterly consistent without even the slightest change or inconsistency. So what should I be like when I know these things? One of the things I want to keep in mind is that I want to start each day thanking God for every good gift in my life, recognizing that all blessings flow from him. And like I said, it does not matter where I am, being able to do that. And this house was so amazing, and I would not be surprised if it was not owned by believers, because when I walked in, it was this big sign that talked about the blessings of God, and I was so grateful to see that. But they had designed it with such that, you know, it had like it was on different levels, and we divided the families up in different levels, and then we came, they had a common space where we could, you know, eat and everything. But I tell you, when I woke up in the morning, I had to find me a walk-in closet, which I found off the laundry room, and had my little light, and I was sitting there with my Bible. And I tell you this, and I say this again and again, I do this. I'm not trying to get any accolades or pats on the back. I'm telling you this as a warning. You know, bad times are not the only times that we can forget about God. But we can definitely forget about God in good times. Just too busy being, you know, all excited about how good things are. But no, I don't want to do that. I absolutely do not want to do that. And so I have learned to bring my mind and heart back to the Lord. I love that story that we do sometimes in this meeting about Martha and Mary. In the story of Martha and Mary in the book of Luke, there were two sisters, and they had invited the Lord to come over to their home. They were getting things ready for their home. But when Jesus showed up, Mary left her sister and went to Jesus and sat at his feet. Well, Martha was very upset about that. She felt, wait a minute, there's work to be done. We need to get this work done. And she even went to Jesus and fussed at him. Said, you know, tell my sister to get in here, you know, to help me. And Jesus said, Mary, you're worried about many things that, you know, Martha, you're worried about many things. Mary has chosen the best. You know, and the Lord is the best. And regardless, again, of what is going on in my life, I have to keep going back to the truth. None of this would be, you know, possible without the Lord. None of it would be possible. So I'm grateful for every gift, but I cannot make the gift bigger or more meaningful than God himself. I got to bring him in on everything, including, you know, these lovely times that happens at times with families and with friends. It's a very lovely time. In this reading on the third paragraph, it was a big thing that I had to learn too. It says, I am grateful to be abstinent. I pray to never fail to tell others that I am abstinent today only by the grace of God. I pray to worship God and not my abstinence. And that I had to learn also. And I still have to practice that over and over and over again. I know that God wants me abstinent. He definitely wants me abstinent. And this is not at the expense of forgetting to give all praise and glory to him. And it's not at the expense, you know, of failing to tell other people about who he is and what I am about. You know, I think about that because I realize that all people need the Lord, because, you know, our besetting sin is not going to be the same, but we still have to tell all people about the Lord and the presence of any kind of besetting sin, because this is another thing I know too, is that a person can be abstinent and still be involved in some besetting sin in another area. People call it trading, you know, seats on the Titanic. That can definitely happen. Or there can be people who are abstinent and they never ever get to know about salvation, because the people who are saved, they never tell them. They never tell them about the Savior, who is the author of every good and perfect gift. And I cannot do that. I absolutely cannot do it. So more than anything, people should know that I am a servant of the Most High God. And very, what comes after that is that, no, I don't want to do anything shameful that would shame the name of the Lord. And that is the main reason I want to be abstinent today. Not to do shameful things that would hurt the name of the Lord. And so, yeah, I take care of my abstinence. Let me tell you how the devil wants to twist that around sometime. He will make you think that because you're taking care of your food, that's a shameful thing to do. No, it is not a shameful thing to do. It is a thing that you can show people that it's possible to enjoy life and not be killing yourself with the overeating and the food. And that was very, you know, important. I got some criticism that has come from different times, you know, different, has come from the same place at times. And I have learned to rise above it and not to even address it at all. You know, I'm not to, it's almost like I remember one time, this pastor was saying, you know, you have to take a bulldog approach about the things that you have been convicted to do. And the bulldog approach, he said, you ever seen a bulldog walk down the street? He said, he can walk down the street, and it says, even out of the alley might come another little dog or something yapping at his feet or something like that. But he keeps on moving. He doesn't even look and see. You know, he doesn't give it a second thought. He just moves on. And that was the same thing for me, too. I knew I had to pack up my food, and I was not going to make any bones about that. That was what was going to happen. It was going to be packed up. I was not being mean about it. I was not being arrogant about it. But I know this. Let me get into the food. And I've said it before, you know, it's like Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde, that my behavior changes. I've learned that. I'm not changing behavior. I'm not changing stripes, you know. And even, you know, at the wedding party, making sure that I had my weight and measured food already. And, you know, as we were all sitting at the table, and also making sure that I was very, very aware of when was the last time I had, you know, when was the last time I ate. Even knowing that I had to, my lunch is usually later and my dinner is usually later. But I couldn't. I had my breakfast, and then 4 hours later, I had my lunch. And then 4 hours later, actually, it was like early for me. It was like 5 o'clock. I don't usually eat my dinner at 5, but it was fine because in my food plan, as long as it's 4 hours between the last bite of the, you know, the last meal, I can have my next meal. And that was what it was. I ate 5 o'clock at this wedding time, which was not, you know, my cup of tea or whatever, but it was fine. I was not overeating. And I was grateful for that because I was able to stay engaged with the people around me. I had made the time, just as, you know, people in the household were getting ready. I had, you know, I was getting ready too, but I wasn't the star of the show, so it didn't matter, you know. Just so my clothes were clean and, you know, neat. And, you know, whatever. Some of my preparation was in that kitchen, weighing and measuring my food and putting them in a little, you know, a little carrying case that I took along with me. And in fact, I had made sure that I kept it in the car since I was the, you know, the grandmother of the bride. In fact, the way they had it lined up, I was the first. No, it was an older. I think her. I think his grandfather, great grandfather, was there, so he went first, and then I and my husband went next. You know, walking down the aisle. And, yeah, so all of these things, I had to think ahead and what I needed to do and how I was going to do it. And, but God helped me. He definitely helped me. And again, my abstinence is very, very important, because my God is most important. And I don't want to get into any mind-altering behavior or any behavior that is going to make me forget who I am in Him. But let me pray. Dear Father, You have blessed me richly. I pray to keep my focus fixed on the cross, that I may never put a false God before You. I pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.